we're thankful, Lord, that you are here. And believing, Father, that you are here, not only from our mental intellect, Father, but from every fiber of our body. Knowing, Father, that you have come down, we've seen not only a picture, because we don't go by pictures, but we know by your word, by the doctrine which you have brought, the appearing versus the coming, we know that you're here. We know because we had a vindicated prophet tell us that the pillar of fire will lead us into the millennium, and so we know that you're here. And Father, by many infallible proofs, not only in our daily lives, but the things which you have done which no other man could do in this hour, when children having no eyes, born with no eyes, and prayed over and beautiful eyes appear in their sockets, Father, and when we see squirrels spoken into existence and just the many mighty wonderful things that you've done in this hour, we know that the God who created the heavens and the earth, the God who formed and fashioned everything by his word, we know that you are here. And so, Father, knowing that you're here, we ask that you'd help us, Lord, to reverence that and to always hold that in highest regard. Be with us, Lord, as we would study this word. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Now, last night we spoke on the church, the squeeze, and the trial of your faith, which is given to us in order for us to pass it. We talked about the squeeze that Brother Branham said was coming. And we showed how that squeeze is really nothing compared. It's nothing compared to the word being choked off in the believer today by the cares of this life. We know by virtue of the scripture, and we know by virtue of what has happened throughout the world to believers in Rwanda, different countries, the persecution, China, different ones. The persecution that has already come on believers for their faith. So, as far as a squeeze coming where they're going to shut us down and stuff, well, I kind of look forward to that because when that happens, Brother Brown said from the message, the third Exodus, he said, then there's a persecution coming upon all those who won't unite with it and a boycott. But it'll be too late then. You're already took the mark. Well, either you already took it or you didn't take it. And in other places said, let's see here. He said, from Feast of the Trumpets, he said, loosed upon what? Not upon denomination, upon the bride. But before you get it, the bride will not go there, or it will not go through that time. So we know when the persecution actually does come, the bride will not be infected or affected by it. Rather, this is coming on the church. This is coming on those that are left behind. So the real persecution or the real squeeze upon the bride, I believe, is not that squeeze coming down the road, but the real squeeze upon us is the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches is squeezing off the life of the word in you. Because if you have that life in the Word, or the life of the Word in you, you don't care what comes. You don't care if it's government, you don't care if it's church. You know one thing, God will take care of it, you'll be out of here. Brother Bram said that the bride doesn't go through persecution. He said, what man would want to marry a woman with one breast, and you know, where she had one removed? He said, no, he says, he wants a perfect bride. And so, he's coming for a perfect bride. This is not the age of martyrdom. The age of martyrdom was the first church age because the seed had to go into the ground. It had to die so that the life in it could come back, you know, into a many multiplied form. And after we're gone, persecution comes again. So I don't worry too much about the squeeze coming down, although Brother Bram did say many things about it. Let me just read a few here. He said, because all organization that isn't in this council of churches, I've got the papers on it now, that even if your church is not in this council of churches, in time of trouble, they can use your church to store munitions and or anything that they want to. And if any man is caught having a prayer for anybody outside of affiliating with this council of churches, can be shot as a federal offense. That's right. I got the papers on it from Washington. So there's coming a time when this is going to happen. Now, we won't be here for that. And so they can have the church. I don't care about the church. It's a building. I care about the people. That's what it's all about. Now, he says from uniting time, he said, therefore, they are uniting themselves now, and your pastor here and many can tell you that's reading, that they have the ecumenical move of the world, that if there comes a disaster, what happened in this neighborhood here, if we are not united with that ecumenical move, then our church can no more be a church, and they can use it for a storehouse. Or if some of the brothers would see somebody dying or hurt and try to minister to him any spiritual blessings, we could be shot for it. Now, these are all laws that were written in, and these weren't laws written by the by Congress. These were laws written by, you know, Kennedy, and by the what do you call them, the executive order. You know, Ron, remember back in '99, we checked out a lot of these executive orders that Kennedy wrote, and you know, they can take your homes, they can do anything they want to, and they're on the books. They just haven't been exercised. But now we're starting to see that stuff with this. You know, the Homeland Security and you know, where they don't even have to knock now. They can just break into your house and you know, come in. And also the you know, this under Bush, you see they have this thing is called I don't remember what they call it, but it has to do with churches, you know, helping out and assisting and getting government money for it. Well, as soon as a church gets government money, she's sold herself out right there, you see. And so the only ones that are going to do those projects are the ones that are already sold out. They've already taken the mark, you see. Again, from Feast of the Trumpets, he said, the hour that we're living in, the ecclesiastical, the spirits uniting together now and bringing them all into this one big slaughter to blot out. It's already in writing here in this nation now. And these churches has to be closed unless you're with the organization. It's a union. It's a boycott, just like the Mark of the Beast. And just several others. And they're going to bring a persecution on pretty soon and shut up all the churches. You see that. And churches like this, who's not in organization, they'll use them for storehouses then. And if any man goes and offers a prayer for anybody else who don't belong to that ecumenical movement, will be shot on the spot. Don't make any difference what they say. That church will stand true in that time. She's already proved it back yonder, and she'll do it again in the face of everything. It's the word of God. She's going to be there without spot or wrinkle. Right, she'll stand there. And from Acts of the Holy Spirit, 1954, he said, and I believe one of these glorious days when the United Confederation of Churches goes together and the new Pope is brought out of the United States and put over there according to prophecy, then they'll form an image like unto the beast, and I tell you that the true Church of God will be drove together. And finally from Hebrews chapter 4, Brother Bram says, you mark it down, you watch the Confederation of Churches and the Catholics unite together, and watch what takes place. People who follow the pillar of fire will certainly have a rough time, but they're ready for the translation at that time. So what I believe is that the squeeze is like being choked. Now remember, when a person's choked, there's a process that takes place, and the very first few microseconds of the choke, you can just barely feel the hand on the neck. But the more and more pressure that comes down, the more and more it chokes off the air, chokes off the life. Well, you see, the pressures are already here. Brother Ram said the squeeze has already begun. He said that the press is already taking place. It's already begun. Now, people can mock that and say what they want to, but the fact is that there's been a squeeze in every ministry that God has ever brought forth on the earth. It's nothing different. It's not anything different than what they've always gone through. It's basically the church coming against the word. Jesus Christ has been put outside the church. And so we're going to look at this a little bit more in detail today about the squeeze. Now, we talked about the squeeze that Brother Branham said was coming, and we showed how that the squeeze is really nothing compared to the word that's being choked off in the believers today by the cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches and other things coming in and choking off the word. that the word might not produce any fruit. Now, that's because, you see, look, if the life of the word is in you, It doesn't matter what outside pressures come down. It doesn't matter if it's government. It doesn't matter if it's an organization. It doesn't matter if it's ecclesiasticals or whatever it is that comes against you. You know where you stand. You can take it. You've got the Holy Ghost. What are they going to do to you? They can kill you. They can kill this body. But Jesus said, don't fear that which that can kill the body. But he said, fear that which can kill the soul. That's that other squeeze. That's that other choking off of the word. That's the thing you should be fearing, is the deceitfulness of riches, the cares of this life. That's what you should fear. More than fearing a church coming down against you. So what? It's just money. They can take, you know, you could have $1 million, you could lose it tomorrow. It's just money. That's all it is. It's just money. Now, last night I said the word being choked, it keeps the life of the word in you from producing fruit in the believer. As far as, and I said it's a far worse squeeze spiritually than the shutting down or the persecution of the church. Now, that doesn't mean that there won't be a squeeze that Brother Ram's talking about. But to have the life of the word choked so much to the point that it produces nothing is far worse than persecution for your faith. In fact, I believe that the bride in America and Canada need the squeeze that Brother Branham talked about just to get them to wake up, if it isn't too late by then. Because remember, he said, he that's filthy will be filthy still. He that's righteous is righteous still. But they need something to shake them up. And we saw in the next quote where Brother Branham says that the squeeze is ordained by God to squeeze the self out of yourself in order for you to come to the place where you can get, where you can just let go and let God. And I'd like to read this for you. It's from the message I Know, preached in 1960. And Brother Branham said, there was too much of you in you. I'm going to read that again. I'd like you all to repeat it. There's too much of you in you. Can you all say that? There's too much of you in you. Till God had to squeeze it out through trials. And while that squeezing was coming on, it's hard. But after a while, the sky is clear back, and you see the purpose of God. Then you cry, I know my Redeemer liveth. And at the last days he'll stand on the earth. Though the skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I shall see God. These little trials and things are just for a moment, and they fade and pass away, but they're only done for your good. Let us remember that, that God would get glory. Notice that he said, there is too much of you in you. So God uses the trials to squeeze you until some of you lets go and then lets God. And that is the way that it is. Sometimes we get too full of self, and God has to squeeze the self out of yourself in order for to make room for him to have the preeminence and to take over your life. Now, again this morning, I would like to continue with the study of paragraph 119 of the Masterpiece, where Brother Branham said, the word is right, the church trying to squeeze it out. Now, as we saw last night, the statement is worthy of examination because it has to do with something that Brother Branham spoke of concerning the end time. And notice here that this quote, that he is pointing us to the word, and he says that it is right, and then he adds that the church is trying to squeeze the word out of the church. Now, this squeeze that Brother Branham mentioned here has to do with the church and the word. He said the word is right, but the church trying to squeeze it out. Therefore, the squeeze has to do with the word of God being rejected by the church. Actually, it doesn't have anything to do with you or I, except that we are the vessels in which the word is coming alive. And therefore, in order for the church to maintain its control in it, it must expel, it must cast out, or somehow nullify the work of God in you and in I, because the word of God is a seed that the sower planted, and when it is planted in good soil, and it's tilled, and it's made ready, it will bear fruit, and that fruit is what the church is against, because the fruit is the teaching of the season. Now, Brother Branham used the word squeeze 65 times throughout his ministry, and in most of them, he's talking about something being squeezed, like the life that was in Christ Jesus, being squeezed out at Calvary in order for it to come back upon the believer. But in several, he speaks of the effects of the word being squeezed out by the church religious system. But the one quote that everybody refers to when talking about the squeeze that is to come is taken from the message, Look Away to Jesus, that Brother Branham preached in December of 1963. So we're going to look at that quote this morning. And Brother Branham said, So now I'm going to say something to you now that I haven't said all along. And that is the thing that we have looked forward to for so long, or at least many years, 4 or 5 years, maybe longer, the third pole has now been vindicated. And I'm sure that you all know what it is. Now remember, there'll never be any impersonation of that, because it can't be. It cannot be. Now, it is in existence, and I am warned of this, that soon, right at this time, now, it's just happened, so it could identify its presence among you. See? But it will not be used in a great way until this council begins to tighten up. And when it does, when that does, the Pentecostals and so forth can almost impersonate anything could be done. But when that time comes, when the squeeze comes down, then you'll see what you have seen temporarily be manifested in the fullness of its power. So what are people worried about a squeeze for? What in the world are they worried about a squeeze for? When that squeeze comes down, the third pole will go into full manifestation. Then we ought to be looking forward to the squeeze, that squeeze. But what I'm saying is that the cares of this life is choking out the Word. And the Word itself won't produce in you what it's supposed to produce in you if you allow the cares of this life, which is, look, what is the cares of this life? What is it made up of? It's made up of your jobs. It's made up of your income. It's made up of how much you have left after you've met your bills. It's made up of the bills. It's made up of of the things that you like. You know, it's made up of the things that you maybe not necessarily like, but you have to have, the needs. Their cares. The things the things that you have, that not so much that you care about, but the cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches. Riches are very deceitful. Most men that are wealthy strive to gain more wealth. It becomes a gain to them. Do they need it? Why would a man that makes $45 million a year need more money? No, it becomes a gain to them. They don't need that kind of money. Why would anybody need more than just enough to have a decent living? Why do they pay athletes, you know, $50,000 every time they swing the bat? Do they need it? Does a baseball player need more than $100,000 a year? Well, he's got to have his cocaine. He's got to have these. Why does he need cocaine? Because he's not happy. He's got millions of dollars coming in, and he's not happy, so he spends what money he does have to find happiness. Why do people steal? We've got movie stars that make millions of dollars a year caught stealing items that are just paltry. Why? Why do they feel like they've got to steal something from somebody? They're not happy with themselves. There's only one form of joy, one place to find it. And that's in the presence of the Lord is fullness of joy. That's it. You can buy your new car and within a week or two it's an old car. You can buy a new home and you're going to start looking at I don't care who the workmanship is, nothing is perfect. I went through $1 million homes the other day at that Homerama, just looking around. I saw a lot of mistakes. I thought, well, you know, I see the mistakes in our little church that we're building. I see them in the house that we built years ago. And you know, if you got an eye for those things, and you don't have an eye for those things unless you develop the eye for those things. I'm sure Michael and Derek and some of you brothers and Miguel, some of you brothers that are in the contracting business, can go through a place and you can find all kinds of mistakes. But you learn to roll with it. You learn to roll with it because nothing is going to be perfect in this life. There's only one perfection, and that's the Word of God. And that's what comes out of that Word. Now, Brother Branham, as I said, uses the word squeeze 65 times. Most of the time, you talk about squeezing oranges, getting juice out of it, or Jesus Christ, the Holy Ghost, was squeezed out of him at Calvary. But this one time, he uses the word squeeze, actually two times. He said the the church is squeezing the word out. And this one, he said, talked about the squeeze coming. But notice he puts it in light of the third pole. He said, the Pentecostals and so forth can almost impersonate anything. But when that time comes, when the squeeze comes down, then you'll see what you have seen temporarily be manifested in the fullness of its power. So it's got to be right around the time when the squeeze comes down and the bride is taken up. Right around that time. Now remember, the resurrection is not just a, you're gone. There's a gathering together like there was in the Alpha. There was at least 500 witnesses that the Old Testament saints were resurrected after Jesus was resurrected. They were seen in the city as much as 40 to 50 days. So there's going to be a period of time. Now the squeeze can come down. And listen, as I told you, the squeeze, when it begins, when a choke begins, you can, as it begins, it starts to form pressure. And the pressure is a squeezing. And if the squeezing isn't let up, then it chokes until what it's choking is dead. Now that's the intention of organization, is to squeeze out anything that comes against organization. But we've had that in every age. I've read testimonies of brothers in Rwanda that talked about, because of their religion only, the previous government in Rwanda persecuted the bride, the people and the message, because the churches, the mainstream churches, asked them to do it. So they did it. Then when there was a big revolution, there was just everybody's killing everybody, and then when things settled down, a new government took over, and they've basically had peace, and they've been able to come together in religious freedom. So we see these great tumults in places, but we don't realize that God allows those things to happen. So when you see the signs, that's when you head to the hills. That's all I can say. If I was in those countries and I knew that there's coming a purging, I wouldn't sit back and say, well, Lord, you know, help me, help me, help me. I'd say, Lord, help me find a place to go. I don't want to leave my family in this situation. So here we see him speaking of the council of churches tightening up, and he calls this tightening up a squeeze. Now let's continue. Paragraph 17, he says, now I must continue in evangelism just as I was commissioned first. I must continue. Therefore, you've had the word, and you know what to look for, how to stand. I must continue on in evangelism, and friends of mine, I believe we all kind of feel like we're his friends, right? Where he says, keep still, and just keep moving up, or moving on. For the hour is approaching swiftly, see, that when something is going to be done. Now, you might see some little odd things happen from me. Nothing sinful, I don't mean that. But I mean something odd to what the regular trend, because what I have reached to now in the ministry, I'm dropping back here, watching that spot and waiting for the time to use it. But it's going to be used. And everyone knows that, far as certain, as the first was identified, so the second was identified. And if you'll think real closely, and you are spiritual, as the Bible said, here's to him who has wisdom. The third is properly identified. See, we know where it is. So the third pole is here. Now remember, this is in December of 63. Brother Branham left sometime close to that, and he went away. He dropped back. He went to the mountains. He went to Tucson. He went to the desert. And from 63, you know, if you look at his sermons in 63 and, you know, in 62 and 61 and 60, he was preaching about 100 and some sermons a year. But 65, he only preached about 50. 64, he didn't preach, you know, all that many. And so, you know, Brother Branham was, when he went to the desert, he was waiting for God to do something. And he said while he was out there, he said he had been there for 3 months and didn't have one invitation to preach. So he'd have to go down to Phoenix and go different places to go preach. In paragraph 118, he says, in paragraph 18, he says, it is so sacred that I must not say much about it, as he told me in the beginning. He said, this say nothing about it. You remember that years ago, it speaks for itself. See, but I've tried to explain the others, and I made a mistake. This would be the thing that, to my opinion, I don't say that the Lord tells me this. This will be the thing that will start the rapturing faith for the going away. That's why Brother Vail, in talking to him, he believes that there will come a time when Brother Branham does come back in the resurrection. Not outside the resurrection, in the resurrection. But he will be the first up. because that which is last shall be first, and that which is first shall be last. Brother Branham said that's the order of the resurrection. So when Brother Branham comes up, then Wesley's age comes up, then Luther's age comes up, and all the way back to Paul. But there's got to be something that brings on the rapturing faith. And Brother Branham said that was that third pole. He believed that was that third pole. And in that vision, you saw people that had gone into the room with arms missing everything else coming out completely whole. I believe that's the time of the resurrection. You get an arm taken off here in that resurrection, that arm's going to be back. That body's going to be restored. It's going to be whole. So there's got to be something that will bring on this rapturing faith, because we will be able to see that dimension. They'll be here. Resurrected saints will be with them. And somehow something will take place, and then we'll be gone. We'll be caught up higher. When we're caught up higher, then the bombs fall and everything else. He said, this will be the thing that will start the rapturing faith for the going away. You see, now that and that. I must lay quiet for a little while. Now remember, and who's listening to this tape, you might see such a change in my ministry right away, dropping back. Now, not going up, dropping back. We're right at the age now, and it can't go any further. We have to wait here just a minute until this happens over here to catch up. Then the time comes, but it's thoroughly identified. There's coming a time upon this nation, to where this nation is going to exercise all the power that the beast that before, which was pagan Rome, when it became papal Rome, see, that this nation will do that. Revelation 13 plainly explains it. The Lamb came upon the earth, the other beast came upon the water, the thickness, the multitudes and people. This Lamb came up where there was no people. The Lamb represents religion, the Lamb of God. And remember, it spoke like a lamb. It was a lamb, and then after a while it received power, and it spoke like a dragon and exercised all the power of the dragon before him. And the dragon is Rome, always. So don't you see Roman denomination, a marked Protestant denomination, an image unto the beast, making a power that will force all Protestants like a nation, and you'll have to be into this council of churches or you won't be able to have fellowship. Well, it's practically that way now. You can't go to church and preach unless you have a fellowship card or some identification. I'd like to read another quote here where Brother Branham talks about a Catholic president. Let's see here. Then when these women help elect the wrong person, then I saw a great woman raised up in the United States, well-dressed and beautiful, but cruel in heart. She will either guide or lead this nation into ruination. Now I've got in parentheses, perhaps, the Catholic Church. Women, given the right to vote, elected President-elect Kennedy, the women vote. The wrong man, which will finally be to full control of the Catholic Church in the United States. Then the bomb comes that explodes her. I do not think that Mr. Kennedy will have much effect now, because he'll make a wonderful president in order to bring in the others. Now, and you find out then that women give the right to vote and they elected a president that they should not have elected. See, that's that fall. So Brother Branham is saying, look, Kennedy didn't. It wasn't fulfilled in Kennedy, but they allowed kind of a playboy to come in to president. And when they did that, they followed with Clintons and people like them. Bunch of schmoozers, politicians. Now, paragraph 20 says, and now on persons like ourselves, we're going to be cut out of all that altogether. That's exactly because they won't be able to do it. It's tightening, and then when that time comes and the press comes to a place to where you're pressed out, then watch. What I'm fixing to tell you in a few minutes, watch the third pole then. It'll be absolutely to the total lost, but it will be for the bride and the church. Now we're closer than it seems to be. I don't know when, but it's real, real close. So notice he is using words that are expressive, but yet they do not clearly define what is going to happen. He calls this tightening a squeeze, or he calls it a press, or he says all pressed out. These are the words he uses to tell us of the condition that he says is now on its way concerning our freedom to assemble and worship. Now last night, we talked about the cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches and other things, that they come in and they choke out the life of the word. Well, Brother Branham said that those things come upon the church and press down upon the church until there is nothing left but a worldly church. From the message Shalom, he said, the hour is upon us, darkness, gross darkness on the people now, that's what it is. What does it all mean? Where we're standing? What hour are we in? How close are we to the coming? Why, you say, when all they have a revival, fear not, little flock, it's your Father's good kingdom to give, or good will to give you the kingdom. All right, what does it mean? God has begun to separate the light from the darkness. See, pressing it behind. So who's doing it? God's doing it. You think the Catholic Church can do anything they want to do? You think the denomination organization can do anything they want to do if God doesn't allow it? God is sovereign. He says, pressing it behind, like he did in the beginning to show the dawn of the new day. The church ages are fading out. Pardon me. The church ages are fading out. God is pressing the darkness into a place. It has to do it to fade out the church organizations, to fade out the world. The world is covering the thing over, and worldlyism has taken the whole thing. Then isn't God right? By worldly things and worldly dressing and worldly acting and worldly living, it's the world. You are not of the world, little children. You are of heaven. This is not your home. Why should I look to us older people try to look back and get young again? We can't do that. But we're looking forward, not looking back. Looking here. What has been? And we want to know what's going to be. And we're looking for that hour, pressing for it. So we see this press is the world upon the church, and God is allowing it to separate the light from darkness, just as he did in the beginning, to show that the new day is approaching. From the message Shalom, he said, God at the beginning separated the light from the darkness. He's always done that. What does he do? He presses by the coming light, he presses the darkness to the other side of the earth. And that's exactly what's coming to pass now. It's just before day. The morning star has come out to hail the day coming, and the Holy Spirit showing its light. It's coming a time when the light and darkness will have to be separated one from the other. Church and its order will take the order of the day, and Christ and his light, word promise, will go in the rapture. That's the only thing that's left for them to do. It's a day. Today is the dawn of a new day for many who are looking for his coming. And then for paragraph 19, he says, the difference is just like it was in the beginning, when there was gross darkness upon the earth, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water, and he said, let there be light. And God separated the light from darkness, and I believe that we are now living in that hour again, when God is separating light from darkness, and he's pressing it to the other side of the world, that the light might be made manifest. And we are, then, the church. The reason I'd say Shalom to them is because that is God's peace. That's what I want to bring you this morning for the new year. Not looking back, but we're looking forward to the breaking of a new day until there is something beyond, or something great laying ahead of us, where the years has been the joy that we've looked forward to, the pressing coming of the great light. And now we can see it breaking over the horizon, horizontal realm, but breaking between mortal and immortality. We see it breaking between heavens and earth from an earthbound sickness and troubled world into a bright shining day of an immortal life, an immortal body, and an immortal earth that can never pass away. It's Shalom unto the church. Now it's light time concerning the believer, but grows darkness for the people. So you see that this is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. God is pressing the darkness away by the light, and the church must respond to what God is doing, and that is where the squeeze comes down, or comes forth. They must do it to save their own kingdoms, and so they cast out the word, they cast down, they squeeze down on the word, and now he did not say it was just the Catholic Church only, but he called it the Confederation of Churches. In other words, he said it's a council that begins to tighten up. And so you see that there is a squeeze coming on even now, because Brother Branham said that it had already begun back in his day. But what we know of the squeeze is that it is a tightening up. And he called it a press. And he said, God is doing it. So what are we afraid of? There is a purpose for everything that God does. So shalom and peace. In the message he called Desperation that he preached, he said, now I'm going to give you my text while you're turning. My text tonight is Desperation. Desperation. And now you know what desperation is. And now we're going to read from Jeremiah the 29th, the 10th. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished in Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to turn to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you. Now isn't that sweet? Saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you the accepted end. Then shall you come to me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me. And when ye shall search for me with all of your heart, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all nations and from the places where I have drove you, saith the Lord, and will bring you again into the place which I caused you to be carried away captive, back to Pentecost. I put that in myself. That's Brother Ram saying it. It doesn't say that. That's what I was meaning to the church. And then Luke 16, beginning at the 16th verse, the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man must press himself into it. Every man presses into it, not just simply walks into it, but it's got to be pressed into. Now, what's that press? Again, that's a trial. That's a squeeze. That's a personal squeeze to you. I'm not talking about the squeeze. I'm talking about a personal squeeze to you. I'm talking about trials coming down your way. I'm talking about, he says, every man must be pressed into it. He says, you just don't walk into it. So you can see that there's a need for a squeeze to come, that the people might become desperate concerning the kingdom of God. Every man must not just come to it, he said, but must be pressed into it. And from Greater Than Solomon is here, he said, anybody who drives looking through a rearview mirror has to wreck. That's what's the matter with the churches today. It's looking through a rearview mirror to what it did, to what it was. No wonder it's wrecked up. Don't never, Paul said, pressing forward to the mark of the high calling of God. I go forth, I go forward. I know Mr. Moody was a great man, Mr. Wesley was a great man, the Pentecostal move, the Baptist move were great. But let's press towards the mark of the high calling in Christ. Don't look through a rearview mirror 40 years ago. Look what it is today. Look what the Scripture provides, promises today. He had promised them in that day, but we're living above that now, and we're going up. Then why are people constantly looking backwards? Even in the message, you're always looking back at Brother Branham. Now, I don't say we shouldn't be looking at what God did with Brother Branham, but what's God doing with you? And I'm not saying that from a Pentecostal perspective. Hey, let's go out and try to perform miracles. You better not unless God told you to. I don't believe we're going to see a reincarnation of Brother Branham in a church. I don't believe that. I don't believe that, you know, you and I are going to be doing great, mighty, wonderful manifestations of creating squirrels and everything else. I don't believe we're going to do that. Because that's not what God told us to do. He's called us to perform our role, and that's as obedient sons. People looking for the manifestation of the sons of God, they think it's going to be some great jumping over mountains or, you know, doing great feats. No, it's simply controlling yourself, being obedient to God, being obedient to His will, having victory over this flesh. That's obedient sons of God. Now, from his sermon, Desperation, Brother Branham is quoting Scripture, and he says, Desperation. When thou seekest me with all thine heart, then I'll hear you. See, the kingdom, the law and the prophets were until John. Since then, the kingdom of heaven has been preached, and men press into it. You don't just stand around and say, pick me up by the collar, Lord, and push me in. You press into it. You get desperate between life and death. God's not just looking for you to sit back in a armchair of ease and say, well, you know, we believe the prophet. We believe, you know, blah, blah, blah. He said, no, you got to press into it. It's there. Get on your knees and be pressing. And for modern events made clear by prophecy, he said, but let me tell you, I'm not trying to tell you to leave church. My, I want you to go to church. Don't forsake to assemble yourselves together. But what I'm trying to tell you is to do is press into the kingdom of God. get these things, the world, the church, Pentecostals, you people are getting too worldly. You're getting too much after the world. It's just easy. You keep watching television and all these things and the way that they're doing and all this and this. And the first thing that you know, the seminaries, the schools are beginning to compromise here and a little there and this and that and the other. And the first thing you know, it's got to come that way. The Pentecostal church, it's been my greatest support. I can't say nothing against it, but that's what I cry out against. My brethren, get out. You don't have the meetings that you used to have. The people are not like they used to be, but Jesus Christ is the same. Let's move into Him. Now, I like this next quote because in it we see that Jesus also went through a squeeze in order for the Holy Ghost to be squeezed out of Him so that it could come back upon you and I like a sweet perfume is squeezed from the lily and from the rose in order to create a beautiful smelling perfume. And so from church dedication, Brother Bram said, and the great beautiful life that our Lord Jesus Christ lived was instrumental in God's hand. But it could never be a perfume until it was crushed and mashed and spit on and the squeeze and squeezed the very life out of Him on Calvary. That made the anointing for us. That was the lily of the valley. What do you get out of lilies? Opium. What does opium do? It soothes pain. It puts you to sleep in a dreamland. What does the Holy Spirit do? The opium of the Holy Spirit eases every pain. It takes away every tear. It mends every heartache. The lily of the valley. Now notice he said that Jesus Christ went through a squeeze too. And notice that his squeeze was also brought on by the church of his day. Right? Now the Apostle Paul said in Philippians 3 and verse 14, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And this word press is also used in 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 8. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. Now the word press was translated from the Greek word dioko, and it means to bear down upon by pressure, to exert, to press forward, or to persecute. And we find it used more than 70 times in Scripture, which I'll just read several in closing. In Matthew 10:23, but when they persecute you in this city, flee you into another. So, well, as I said earlier, if we see persecution coming, I'm not going to sit there and say, oh God, put a shield around me, God, hide me, hide me, hide me. I'm going to say what the Scripture says. When you see it coming, go to another place. Okay? And when they persecute you in this city, flee yet to another. For verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. Matthew 23, verse 34. Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes. Notice future tense. And some of them you will kill and crucify, and some of them you shall scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city. Matthew 5 and 10. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Verse 11. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Verse 12. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets that were before you. Now I've got basically several pages. Well, let me just read them. Matthew 5:44. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. So that's how our response should be. Luke 21:12. But before all these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into the prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. John 15:20. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my sayings, they will keep yours also. John 5, verse 16. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. So Jesus was persecuted. His apostles persecuted. Brother Branham was persecuted. Not in the same way that many of them were, but he was basically put out of the churches. And so are we. Acts 22, verse 4. Acts 22 and 7. And I fell into the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? So Paul was actually caught up into that. But God took him out. Acts 7:52. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before the coming of the just one, of whom ye have been now betrayers and murderers. So look, all the prophets were persecuted. Romans 12:14. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. 1 Corinthians 4:12, and labor, working with their own hands, being reviled, we bless, being persecuted, we suffer it. 2 Corinthians 4:9, persecuted but not forsaken, cast down but not destroyed. Galatians 4:29, but as that he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now. And that's exactly what we see. Galatians 5:11, and I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased? Galatians 6:12, as many as desire to make a fair show of in his flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. Philippians 3:14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. 2 Timothy 3:12, yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And Revelation 12:13, and when the dragon saw that he was cast under the earth, he persecuted the woman, that's the church, which brought forth the man-child, and that's the Savior. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we see in these words which Brother Bram talked about, he said the word is right, but the church squeezes it out. And we see that the squeeze is when the church will finally come to the place of power, where they have the governmental power behind them, and they will actually close down the churches. But that's fine, Father, because by that time we know that the resurrection will be close at hand. The third pole will come into manifestation, and Lord, will be ready for a rapture and to be caught out of here. So, Father, we just look forward to that time. We know that if that time lies between our going home, then let it come first so we can go home. Because we know that we just pray that it would come in a way which it would just be come and just be over with so that we could get out of here. But we know that it just doesn't stop at the squeeze, because the squeeze actually goes into a tribulation period. And so we know the squeeze is then the beginning of the tribulation period. It's the beginning of the judgments. And so, Father, let that squeeze come, that we might, Father, truly be just ready to get out of here. And we just pray that you'd give us the right spirit to maintain during that time. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. And in between then and now, Father, may we be very much on guard, not allowing the cares of this life, not allowing the deceitfulness of riches or other things, not allowing anything to come between us and you, and between us and your word. So we ask this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord bless thee and keep thee.